Praise you, Jesus. What an awesome God. Hallelujah. Well, I'll tell you what, I got to spend just a few hours in quiet peace with God this afternoon. And meditating tonight's service and everything, and going through what I wanted to teach. And it dropped in me just to shift things up a bit tonight. So I want you to stand with your feet, grab your Bible. And I want us to connect our faith to this service tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say, this is the Word of God.
This is the Word of God.
I believe it's inspired of God. It contains the truth. The whole truth. And nothing but the truth. So help me God. And contained in this book is every answer I'll ever need. And it declares unto me my destiny. Father, reveal your word to us tonight. Show us the path we should walk in. How we can display your goodness. And manifest your glory. I believe tonight. I receive impartation. Now give God your best praise holler.
Hallelujah!
Oh, glory to God. Yeah, all right. Hey, let's get radical. Glory to God. Praise you, Jesus. That was pretty good. I'm not going to make you do it again. That was just really good for a first try. I'm telling you, I think we need to get radical about the Word. How about you? I'm not into the Church of the Frozen Chosen. Amen. The church is not supposed to be the silent majority. They're supposed to be the loud, proclaiming the Word, visionaries of God. Well, go ahead and you may be seated. Thank you for standing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. What an awesome God we serve. Amen. Look, you ready to get into the Word tonight? Turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Second Timothy chapter 3 verse 1 says, "This know also that in the last days," how many know we're in the last days? We're in the time of the time of man that's called the time of the Gentiles. 2 days of creation, 2,000 years since Jesus until now, that God set aside for the salvation of the Gentiles and the manifestation of His glory through the church. Amen? And we're at the end of that sliver, that 2,000 years. We've got a ways to go before the earth is recreated. But we're in the last days regarding the church age, regarding the time of the Gentiles. Amen. And it says that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Perilous meaning dangerous, meaning you need to be careful. Amen. He goes on talking about, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, going on through all these scriptures. But verse 5 says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Having a form of godliness, looking Christian-like, but not accessing the power. In many cases, explaining away the power. In fact, if you look at verse number 4, it says these will even be traitors involved in this. Not traitors against the country as much as traitors against the kingdom of God. Traitors against those God's assigned to be in leadership in the kingdom of God. Amen. Sedition is not talking about trying to, you know, take down your country. He's talking about trying to take down the church. And so he says, from these people, turn away. Well, I just think I'm supposed to still hang around them and spend all my time with them because they need me as a witness. No, they are going to affect you if you violate the principles of the Word. Amen. Let the Holy Spirit have its way. He's well able to turn people to Him. Amen. So it says there's dangerous times. We're in that last sliver of time. And understand, it's not dangerous times so much for the... I mean, it is for the world, understand. But it's dangerous times for the church. I've been going through the scriptures, finding the instances talking about where in the scriptures we're warned against falling as God's people. We're warned against people coming in as wolves to try to take people out. And repeatedly, Paul says it's a dangerous or perilous time. Be on guard against these circumstances or situations. Amen? And so understand, the closer we get to the return of Jesus, the closer we get to the manifestation of the glory, the more the devil's trying to bring deception to steal people out of the kingdom. See, I need you to understand this point. There is a false mindset within Christianity, been around for, 2,000 years, that once you receive Jesus Christ, as long as you just believe in Jesus, you're going to heaven. I can't find it in the scripture. Did you follow me? Now, I know I even feel the resistance just me saying this right now. Because we've been so indoctrinated with this mindset, just believe in Jesus, it's fine. But if you read through the New Testament, it repeatedly lets us know that's not true. To believe in that doctrine is to set aside half the New Testament. Because repeatedly in your New Testament, it talks about people losing out, people falling away, people missing out. You read through Galatians, you read through Corinthians, you read really all the epistles, and you'll find warnings by Paul and by Peter, by the leaders of the first church, about you need to be on guard against certain dangers or attacks. Now, why would we have to be on guard if our salvation was already assured? Why would we have to be on guard if once we're saved, we're always saved? Do you follow me? Why would it be a perilous time if my salvation is sealed? Now, let me make this clear. We're saved by faith and not by works. Did you follow me? It's not your works that are going to save you. Not only that, I'm convinced if you give your life to Jesus and you make an effort to go after the Spirit, amen, and honor truth when it's revealed to you, you can't miss God. I don't believe anybody that's going after God, do you follow me, that is making every effort to connect to God and is not rebelling against the truth, I believe they're on the way to heaven. Did you follow me? I don't believe losing your salvation is necessarily an easy thing. Can I take it further? You can leave the revivalist church and still go to heaven. Do you follow me? I'm not saying you leave this church or whatever church is full of the power of God. You leave it, okay, now you're going to hell. I don't believe that. I believe as long as you're making an effort to go after Jesus, you follow me, that you're in good shape. As long as you honor revealed truth. Do you follow me? And sometimes that truth may come through your pastor. May come through what you're reading. May come through the Holy Spirit. But you have to honor truth, because the spiritual principle says, having rejected the truth, they received a lie. That when you choose to turn your back on the Holy Spirit, we got on this last week, when you choose to turn your back on the leading of the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden it becomes impossible for you to discern truth, and you then succumb to the lie. Did you follow me on that? And I've given you many instances of people I've known, people I've ministered with, people in some cases I looked up to, that decided certain parts of the scripture didn't apply to them. Did you follow me on that? Like, well, I don't need a pastor anymore. Well, we got a problem with the scriptures then. Or, I believe I can sleep around. We got a problem with the scriptures. We could go all through all these different examples. I don't need anybody to speak into my life outside of covering. And I've watched people that have rebelled against truth, that had the Word of God on them, I'm saved, full of the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues, and rejected truth and decided they would stand their ground against what the Spirit was revealing and became a habitation of devils. To the point I've had him come in here and say, I'm Jesus. We have a Jesus come here in two times in two different forms. One was tall, one was short. It's amazing. He changed his height in between. And in this last sliver of time, right before the glory manifests, I am watching people that at one time were full of the Holy Ghost, full of the power of God, full of the wisdom of God, turning their back on the things of the kingdom, and all of a sudden, they can no longer discern truth. And I'm seeing crazy comments. You know, Facebook is the new venting station for, you know, whatever you think or believe nowadays. And I'm watching people I've admired for years or known for years now flaking out publicly. Can I say it that way? We know we call it Facebook granola. Fruits, nuts, and flakes on Facebook. And I hate it. I take no pleasure in telling you this tonight. It grieves me because these are people I know and people I love. And I still pray for them. I don't want anybody to miss the kingdom. But when you start rejecting the truth and all of a sudden you think you're Jesus, it's obvious there's a breakdown in your life somewhere being able to discern truth. And I saw another comment this afternoon on Facebook. I just have to open it. There was a comment from somebody that was in ministry. Inferring that because we're full of the Holy Ghost and because we're made in the image of God and God says He'll never leave us nor forsake us, why would we need anybody to lead us into God's presence? In other words, why would we need somebody to teach us? Why would we need a pastor? We're already full of the Holy Ghost. Well, to say that, you have to set aside half the New Testament. You have to set aside the fivefold ministry. You have to set aside Hebrews 13 where it talks about follow those who have demonstrated to you the things of the kingdom. Hebrews 6, follow those through whom faith and patience inherit the promises. What happens? When you reject the truth, you're rejecting the Holy Spirit as the truth, as the teacher. And now nobody can tell you what to do. And now it's just you and your demon leading you along the way. Familiar spirits coming in, setting up camp, counterfeiting the voice of God. Do you follow me like this? You know, I mentioned this parrot we have that Barbara sewed into Lori, but Patty's taking the parrot over. But he likes me best. He just doesn't know it yet. He kissed her all the time. He kissed me clear to the bone. I was caught in a smack, all right. Anyway, I mentioned this before, but I'll be going through the house. I'll be upstairs. Like last week, I was upstairs working in one of the bedrooms back there, and I hear, Jack! Jack! I think, Patty, why do you holler at me from four rooms away? You know I'm up here. You're going to make me put all my tools down, come off the ladder, go find out what you want. See, she's already getting blamed for it. And so I walk out there, what? And it's the parrot. So for once, she wasn't to blame. What happened? He's counterfeiting her voice. And when you reject the voice of the Spirit that's saying, don't do that. Don't go there. Don't sleep with them. Don't do that drugs. Don't toke that joint, whatever. When you get involved in that, you harden your heart to the voice of the Spirit, and I'm telling you, the devil is real. There is a spirit waiting to say, that was a wise decision. Now here's what we need to do now. That will take over leadership of your life. You don't need to read the Bible anymore. I'll tell you what the Bible means. You follow me? You don't need a pastor anymore. I'll instruct you. I'm your teacher. And I'm telling you, this is how it is. And they end up in Flakeville versus in, you know, a city of glory. And again, I'm not trying to attack anybody, but I have to let you know it's perilous times. I have to let you know there's danger out there. Not to scare you to stay right. Oh, don't do anything. It's not about fear. You follow me? It's about guarding your heart against what influences your spiritual activities and decisions. Amen. And so, I'm watching people totally cut off themselves from the voice of revival. People that have had visions, people that have had that have had experiences with God, that have heard the voice of God, all of a sudden are getting caught up in this living with a form of godliness, but no power. There's no anointing on their life. They're rejecting those that have an anointing that operate in any kind of power. I tell you what, Jesus, when he came, he operated in the power of God. And he quoted, "This is evidence I am who I said I am." Do you follow me? You know, Peter and John heal the man at the gate, and they say, "God confirms what he's doing through these signs," to paraphrase. And then you want to follow somebody with no power? Yeah, but when he talks, my ears feel so, you know, pleasant. He scratches the itching in my ears, and I just like what he says, and it just so agrees with what I feel. Well, you've turned yourself over to feeling versus being spirit-led. You've turned yourself into being led by logic and reason, which is actually natural logic, worldly reason, versus being led by the Spirit into the radical truth of the Scriptures. So again, we're talking about this mindset, and please, nobody get upset at me. But I can't find once saved, always saved in the Scriptures. Now, I have an advantage over many people. I was raised an atheist. I really isn't an advantage in many cases. Because I wasn't raised up being told once saved, always saved. That wasn't programmed into my thinking. So when I read the Scriptures, I read it for what I believe they said. Here's what you do to stay in alignment with God. Here's what will take you out of that alignment. Here's the problem. People usually don't get off track overnight. It's usually through a series of decisions to reject truth, to reject God's leadership, even through divine authority, to reject it where, okay, I don't think I need to do that, and they get off one degree, which you can't tell the difference between off one degree. But as they keep walking, they get off another degree. Can't tell 2 degrees. But as they keep going and they keep getting off another degree, next thing you know, they're going 90 degrees the direction you're going. And keep at it, going 180 degrees the direction you're going. So giving up on, you know, isn't like, okay, you left the church, you left the rival church, you're going to hell. It's not like that. Amen? That's not, this take you, it don't, you're not going to hell because you leave a certain church. What happens is you leave a certain church because you don't hear. And you position yourself where you can't even hear anymore. Now you go to a dead church where they're telling you that nobody hears. Or this is the voice of God, WWJD, you know, led by reason. Oh, let me keep going. And all of a sudden everything's based out of reason and social interaction. Versus the cutting edge of the prophetic word of God. Versus the leading of the Spirit into the power of God with the anointing of God. And all of a sudden you're led into what sounds good, feels good, and you keep getting further off. And all of a sudden you start positioning yourself that you entertain these voices that take you clear out of the kingdom. I don't know at what point somebody can lose their salvation. The Scriptures declare clearly, especially in Ezekiel, that if a wicked man turns to God, forsakes his wickedness, God will declare him righteous. And the same passage says, but if the righteous man forsakes his righteousness, amen, and embraces wickedness, God will forget all his righteous deeds. That based on the decision or the direction you're going, are you following me, will establish your position with God. Are y'all with me? Anybody mad at me so far? And if you believe once saved, always saved, hey, fine. Amen. I'm not going that close to the creek bank. But what point is it that all of a sudden you become wicked in God's eyes? At what point are you, as long as I believe in the blood of Jesus and I believe in Jesus, I'm saved. The devil believes in all that. But he's not saved. Do you follow me on that? And what took him out? What was the sin of the devil that took him out? Permanently. Pride and rebellion. I'm talking about the fallen twins, pride and rebellion. And this same pride, nobody can tell me what to do. I'll do what I want to do. Pride and rebellion are taking people out of Jesus' lordship into the devil's lordship, and they don't know it. And all of a sudden now, well, God's saving everybody. Oh yeah, if you just read Jesus, you can still live in homosexuality. You're going to heaven. I don't believe that. Not as this lifestyle. I personally believe, can I just say this? I personally believe. Now other people can be mad at me saying this. I believe you can get saved and be after Jesus and slip into homosexuality, get hit by a truck and still go to heaven. I do. You follow me? Because it wasn't that you were trying to rebel against God, you slipped. I believe you can be going after Jesus and end up in a wrong relationship. Get hit by the truck, lightning hits you. Amen. And potentially go to heaven. Potentially. I'm not going to test it. You follow me? That you really had a heart for God and you slipped. I believe, are in more dangerous territories where you say, well, God loves me, you'll never leave me nor forsake me. I'm just going to live in homosexuality. I'm going to live with somebody else in this relationship. It's not that you slipped. Do you follow me? It's you chose to rebel against the Word of God. And you'll go into that relationship thinking you're saved. Because that's the thing about deception. You don't know you're under it. When Jesus came in here the two times, in two different forms, he didn't know he was deceived. Let me ask you a question. Now, these are individuals. These are individuals. Both of them that had been saved. I believe both of them had been filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke with tongues. They both were after God and wanted the kingdom of God at one time. I mean, really, both of them still did to some level. How many, let me have a show of hands, how many believe that just maybe they were missing it? And the rest of you think he is Jesus. Or you're just not going to support me in the question. I'd have the hands go, the rest going like, what's he talking about, huh? I am convinced. Told him, Patty got to talk to one of them. Amen. And, you know, Jesus is kind of perverted. Because he was trying to hit on my wife. In a flagrant, how can I say, profane manner. Hope he believes in himself. And I told one of them, I says, I don't believe you're Jesus. I think he thought I was missing it. I just didn't see with the eyes of the Spirit. Perilous times. Now, I'm convinced they were both saved at one time. I'm convinced neither of them are now. Well, no, they received Jesus. They just kind of got deceived. No, they rebelled against God's leadership, which allowed them to continue to go one degree off time and time again, till the next thing you know, they can no longer discern truth. And they're going 180 degrees from the direction God would take them, and they are walking away from the kingdom. It's not that they said, neither of them said, I don't believe in God anymore, I don't believe in Jesus. So that's been our mindset of the past, that to lose your salvation, you have to renounce Jesus Christ as Savior. And there's a lot of people that have done that. I just don't believe in Jesus anymore. I don't believe he's a Savior. He's let me down too many times. Killed my baby. You know, I know I'm not following him anymore. They renounce his lordship. How many know that's dangerous territory? I mean, that's hellfire, you know, territory. So we thought that's what it takes to lose your salvation. But I can't find that in Scripture. Did you follow me? Show me in Scripture where it says the only ones going to hell that have been saved are the ones who renounce Jesus Christ as Savior. Doesn't say that. I believe the vast majority of Christians that have, I mean, men after God, that lose out with God, the vast majority of them never renounced him. I look at Facebook, you know, everybody wants to be friends with a pastor. Well, not everybody. I've had some decide they didn't want to be my friend. And I watch posts. How many of there's posts about God all over Facebook? And I look at a bunch of the posts about God. And I'm not trying to judge. You follow me? But knowing their lifestyle, knowing what they're involved in, my personal guess would be they're not saved. I mean, when you're sleeping around with people around town with no conviction whatsoever, you're on drugs, and you believe God gave you drugs, you know, as a gift, you know, for your peace of mind. When you believe that those that, you know, condemn homosexuality as a sin are just being judgmental and legalistic, are, you know, are way off base. Don't tithe. Don't go to church, but yet they post all the time about God's goodness and how God loves them and, you know, all the stuff about the king. I'm of the mindset they don't know they're lost. Again, not trying to judge. Can you follow me on this? But knowing what they're involved in. And I'm not condemning they're putting posts on about God other than, you know, it's really not the best witness. There's something wrong with your witness when you're trying to convince the guy you're sleeping with that he needs to get saved. I mean, something wrong in this. But we so liberalized Christianity that we've taken the teeth out of God's standards that we think you can do what you want to do and everything's fine. Listen, you can mess up, repent, get right with God. You're still on track. Do you follow me? Listen. A week or so ago, I bought a dozen Frank's donuts. I ate six of them. Over 2 days. Give me a break. And I said, God, I may have eaten too many donuts. You follow me? I promise next time I only eat five. I'm cutting back. And I can repent from that and still be anointed, go on with God, you follow me. But what I can't do is next week sleep with five women and say, God, you know, hey, next time I'm cutting it down to four. Oh, the anointing. There are levels of sin. Did you follow me? There's a sin unto death, there's a sin not unto death. And there's slip-ups. And there's intentional error. Don't fall for the trap of calling an intentional slip-up an accident. And we've talked about this before. You know, you out on a date, or even if you're married or something, you're hanging around somebody, and all of a sudden, y'all get talking in an intimate fashion. Next thing you know, on the couch. Next thing you know, kiss. Oh, we just, you know, we messed up. We made a mistake. You know, goes on. You didn't make a mistake. You had in mind what you wanted to slip in before the night started. Don't claim that as an accident. And when you start doing that, guess what? You're compromising your ability to hear truth, because the whole night the Holy Ghost is going, don't do that. Don't go there. You follow me? Don't follow through with that. You're hardening your heart to the voice of the Spirit. It's like, I'm going to take the TV remote and find what channel I can, and I'll keep increasing the level of promiscuity in the channels I watch, or the manner, you know, the level of, how can I say, skin that's displayed, until the Spirit of God screams at me. Why not just go with the first whisper and increase your ability to hear, versus harden your heart till he's got to scream? That time I was backing my van up, I've told this story many times. This has been, my goodness, 25 years or so ago, maybe more. Hadn't been saved long, and I'm backing my, I'd been going to Harrington Lake fishing. I launched my boat. I was backing my van up to park it. The water level was way down. And I heard this voice say, stop the van. Just very quiet, stop the van. And I knew it was God. I said, God, I'll stop the van, you know, as soon as I park the trailer. I'm in the road. I'll block the road, you know. And I kept going. He said, stop the van. God, I don't be rude and block the boat ramp. You know, it's big, long, winding ramp, because you had to get clear down the water to do it. And I kept on backing up, and I heard, stop the van! I mean, whoo! Stop the van! And I threw it up in park. I said, what? I mean, I'm talking to God, what? And I got out of the van, I walked around, didn't realize I was this far from backing off a 30-foot high cliff. Straight down. Rocks below, not water. And God had to scream it to me to get me to stop. Because it really would have probably damaged the paint job on the van. Amen. I'd have did like they do in the cartoons, just jumped out and ran on air until I got to the cliff. You know? And I said, God, I repent for not responding quicker. Thank you for saving my van, my life. You follow me? Help me to hear your voice better. Now, see, I kept going through the voice until I had to scream. Wouldn't it be better if I could just hear the still small voice and respond quickly? You follow me? And be more accurate hearing him versus wait for screams? You know, Patty's learned this somewhat to get my attention. We'll be on the couch or something in the house. She'll go, Jack, can you do this one? And I'll be focused. She'll say, Jack, can you do this one? And finally she'll go, Jack! Not quite in that tone. But with amplification. Why should it get my attention? Because I get focused, I tune everything out. Amen? We don't want to tune out the voice of God. And so many people with pride of rebellion, they'll hear something from their pastor, follow me, or through even the children's church leader who is in leadership. The assistant pastor who has authority, or she's not telling me nothing. I hear from Pastor Jack. You're out of order. She speaks for me. Amen? Amen. She might do it in a rougher manner, but she speaks for me. I was saying something to Patty today about something that happened. She said, were you going to correct that? I said, no, I'll let Rebecca do it. It's my job to love the people. It's her job to fix them. To realign them. We're having fun tonight. Amen. So here's the thing. We want to be accurate in hearing the voice of God. But what happens is, if no pastor or leader, or you know, the children's church or whatever can speak into your life and say, hey, can we do this? Pastor Jack didn't tell me that. And the Holy Ghost going, honor that gift. Honor that position. What's it matter if all of a sudden, you know, somebody else is giving you direction? Well, nobody's telling me what to do. You already got a problem. There's already rebellion and pride in operation. Then nobody can tell you what to do because you're up here and they're down here and you want somebody beneath you to tell you what to do. There's a problem. And people start getting off course because they cannot hear the Spirit of God speaking to them to confirm what to do. God honors leadership in the church. He honors us, even if they miss it, He honors it. Because He established church government. Obey those that have the rule over you. It doesn't say obey the senior pastors. Obey the apostles only. Obey those that are leadership in the church. Whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. End of their lifestyle. But what happens, people get off and they can't hear God anymore. Next thing you know, familiar spirits come in and counterfeit. They parrot that voice. And all of a sudden, they get led into la-la land with no anointing. I want to ask you a question. When I got saved, I read the Gospels. First thing I read. And I saw miracle power. And I said, God, that's got to be in your church. Here's my thinking. When I got saved, I read these miracles. I said, that's in your church? And all these miracles are in your church and I never knew it? I mean, really, that I wasn't in church. I thought, you got people, blind eyes being healed, you know, open, deaf ears opening, people coming with us. I didn't know it. And I couldn't wait to get to church. And then I'd sit through that 10-minute sermon. 45 minutes of announcements. And I said, okay, now they're going to pray for people. Now they're coming out of the wheelchairs. And they dismissed. And I think that was it. Next, we'd find another church. Because I wouldn't stop until we found the power of God. I don't know how many churches we went to starting out. Because we didn't know anything about denominations. We didn't know a Methodist from a Baptist, from a Lutheran. Didn't know charismatic existed. I didn't know what Pentecostal was. But I tell you, we ended up, as we went church to church, somebody else invited me that I worked with. We went to a Pentecostal church and we started seeing some power. Then we got promoted up to more than legalistic power. We got promoted up to the charismatic church under Pastor Callahan. We saw the grace with power. And from the beginning, I've been after the church with the power of God. Nothing else is going to do. And here's what in my mind I can't comprehend. How do you leave a church where the miracles are happening? Where callings are being fulfilled supernaturally? Where prophecies that were spoken over people for over 20 years ago are manifesting now with international ministries? How do you leave that and go to a dead church with no anointing, no power, no gifts, and all of a sudden decide, well, this is where I was supposed to be all along? How do you do that? Can anybody comprehend that? I can name you at least 20 people right now that have done it. Probably could name 50 or 100. Maybe hundreds if I thought about it. Of people that left a church of power, a church of the Word, a church of radical life change, deliverance, where they're singing manifest, and now they're going to a church with nothing. And thinking, I've been deceived all those years. This is where really I'm supposed to be. This is where God's moving. How do you do that? Do you want me to tell you how you do that? By shutting off the voice of the Spirit when you're in revival. So all of a sudden you can't tell the voice of truth from the truth, from the voice of deception. So all of a sudden when you get clear over this far away that you remove yourself from a church of power, you're in a dead church, that you're listening to that same voice saying, don't you feel good now? Can I give you another indication of how this happens? Listen, I ain't even got to where I was. I was going to Jude tonight. We haven't got there yet. We're still in the introduction. When you're in revival, you're going to fight battles. Did you follow me? You're going to fight battles. Did you know the devil does not target dead churches? You know, when you're in a war and you got military groups and you're going to try to bomb the enemy, you don't bomb out in the middle of nowhere where nothing's happening. You bomb where the threat is. So you don't bomb dead churches as the enemy. They're already not a threat. There's no anointing. No anointing means no deliverance, means no liberty, means no power. So if there's no anointing, remember having a form of godliness but no power? We're just picking on other churches. I am declaring to you, we're in perilous times and you better be on guard. So here's this dead church. He's not messing with that. You know where he's targeting? The revivalist church. He's got to stop the anointing. The devil does not have unlimited resources. He's limited. So he's got to target those that pose a threat. And I've told people come here, they come here and it's a honeymoon. Oh, I love this church. Oh, Jesus, I'm free. Oh, the liberty. And I try to let them know, you're on the honeymoon. There will be counterattacks. Not prophesying. I'm telling you a spiritual truth. All that live godly shall suffer persecution. And I try to let you know there's going to be an assault that's going to take all your faith to hold on to what God showed you. There's going to be an attack that makes you feel like you want to run, but you have to stand your ground. You have to speak the word. Amen? Why? The enemy's trying to take you out. So as a revivalist, it used to be much worse. It's not so bad because I've learned righteousness. But I remember the early years. It was like, God, can you just take me now? You won't let me quit. I know this is where I'm supposed to be. So just kill me now. Take me to heaven because I can't take much more of this pressure. You may know what I'm talking about. I mean, every time you get up, there's a new devil slapping you upside the head. Visitation in your dreams. I mean, just every kind of assault. I don't have that anymore. I have oppressive attacks try to hit. And usually they're broken off just very quickly. I've learned some things. But as you're learning, there's a development, there's boot camp in the spirit, I'm telling you. And they're learning to march with that pack on, that assignment, and not knowing where you're going. Dig the hole, fill it back in. Amen. Yep, up and down the mountain. Don't know where you're going. Why am I doing this? God, nothing's working. What's happening? The devil is assaulting your soul. He's the master of soul assault. Now, Pastor Callan has taught this for years. He taught us this 20 years ago because God showed it to him. And what happens is the person that has fallen for the deception, they've been under this assault all this time. Understand the devil. Understand, do you know when you start to fall for the deception, the assaults increase? You know, when an enemy is attacking, you have two lines attacking, two enemy fronts, you know. If there's ever a weak spot in one line, like you have two lines and there's a weak spot in one spot, you will V your forces to that weak spot to prep to break through. So the enemy knows if he ever gets you doubting your position, if he ever gets you questioning leadership or questioning your vision, if he ever gets you, considering quitting, that's why I refuse to ever say I think I need to quit. I've in 28 years, following God. This family has never heard me say, I just need to quit. Never. Never. It won't come out of my mouth. I may have felt that way. It's not coming out of my mouth. Because God paid too much to get me here. And if I invested too much of my life to step into it, I'm not about to turn against it. So, in all these attacks you go through, if the enemy sees you starting to buckle, he's going to press in harder. And here's what happens when you buckle. Not you, but other people buckle. All of a sudden they cave in. I can't take it anymore. I think God's called me over to this church. So you go over to the dead church. You take your position among the frozen chosen. And you praise God. You know, all your hymns, and you got a page to read the hymn, out of the hymnal to read, you sing your hymns, or maybe off the wall. You have your 15-minute sermon, It's all uplifting. Oh, God loves you. God's so good. He's blessing everything you do. And you shake hands and you play social club. You hear the announcements. You go home. And you know, the whole time, the enemy is not attacking you. Why would he attack you when you've already gone into the dead area? And what happens is all of a sudden your soul is out from under that assault and you feel peace in your soul. You feel liberty. Oh, I didn't realize how much bondage I was in over there. I didn't realize how much I was missing God, because over here I have such peace. There's no attack anymore. Exactly. You're confusing the attack with bondage. So the enemy knows if he can get you over to the dead church, or actually any church, he'll lift the attack. He'll even make you a church hopper. He gets you over to the dead church, he lifts the attack, and you feel so much at rest because the assault's ended. Which just confirms to you, this was the right choice. No more pressure from the enemy. You're right. No more pressure from the enemy. No more anointing in your life. No more destiny being fulfilled. You follow me? No more gifts in developmental manifestation. No power. And now you position yourself where if sickness does try to rise up, you have no shield against it. If assault does come your way, you have no platform to speak the word and see it, you know, resolved. You've exchanged being a soldier for being a permanent casualty. You've been wounded in the battle, and now you become disabled militarily in the kingdom. And now, because you've decided to voluntarily quit or really go AWOL, you move to the position you can no longer hear God. And you start to exchange what you feel for what God's telling you down here. We're to be led of the Spirit out of here, not led of voices up here, out of here. We're not to be led by any type of emotional pressure. You know, I get to counsel people a lot. I've counseled probably just about everybody in here at one time or another. And one of the things I tell people is never make a decision in oppression. You'll make the wrong decision. If God's telling you to quit your job, if God's telling you, to make a shift in your marriage or whatever it is, you follow me, depending on the... I says, use the word, break through the attack so things are clear, then decide. Because you're going to confuse what's going on in your mind, what's going on in your soul, and you're going to make decisions trying to resolve that pressure versus follow down here what God's telling you to do. Because the enemy brings the assault against your soul to get you out of the plan of God. And the perilous times we're in are the efforts of the enemy to get you to buy into that all this stuff about pressing in spiritually, all this stuff about developing the mind of Christ, all this stuff about spiritual exercise or spiritual development, that's just legalism. Give up on all that. Just be led of the Spirit and go where there's no pressure. I would rather fight than sacrifice my liberties. I believe fully recognize the price people have paid to get me liberty in this nation. I also recognize the price I've paid and others have paid to get liberty in the Spirit, to step into the anointing, to develop spiritually. I'm not about to exchange it for any artificial peace. I'm not about to let the devil, because see right here, when you're right here and you're in that battle, you're actually establishing rulership over the darkness, over the enemy. When you're over here, you've submitted to the rulership of the enemy. Those are dead churches because they're ruled by religious spirits. Oh, you think you're under the leadership of the Holy Ghost? No, a religious devil has set up rule over that church for the most part. And that's why, you know, speak in tongues, but not in the church service. You follow me? Oh, don't prophesy here. You might scare someone else. Just religion. And I refuse to put myself under the devil. Make your mind up not to lose to deception. We all have decisions posed before us, all of our Christian walk, whether or not you'll follow God into truth or not. And I believe it's possible you can miss it a time or two. You follow me? And still be right with God. But if you start practicing missing it, if you make decisions to reject what you know is truth, you can end up steering off course and ending up in the wrong place, going the wrong direction, and not knowing it. And of the 20, 100, hundreds, whatever, of people I could name to you that are in dead churches today that used to be in revival, the majority of them would say, God brought me here. Well, can't God take you to another church? Absolutely. Absolutely. But why would you, if you have a heart for God, and you're in a place that you're learning in accelerated fashion, the anointing is on the place to open your eyes up to see way beyond your natural given eyesight. Why would God call you out of that to where there's no vision? Other than natural man imparted vision. Why would God do that? Let me ask you a question. You that have kids. Let's say your children are brilliant. Everybody's children brilliant? My kids are brilliant. And let's say your kids are in a private advanced school. And they are advancing. I mean, they're ready to jump grades. They're years ahead of their, you know, where they should be because the education program was so good. I had the opportunity, to give you an example, I had some of the very best teachers in the world when I was growing up. Far above normal. The reason is because when I was 9, my dad was working for Boeing and transferred to Huntsville, Alabama with a space program. We were right in the middle of Kennedy's march to the moon. And they brought the most brilliant minds. My dad was brilliant, is brilliant. They brought the most brilliant minds to these space center hubs. Huntsville, Alabama was the center of the space program in the 1960s. And they brought these brilliant minds in to take us to the moon. And their wives, many of them also brilliant, back in the 60s, couldn't get a job in industry. They became school teachers. Part of the downfall we have in this nation now, I'm not trying to say it's the right thing, part of the downfall in our education system we have now is a lot of the most brilliant people that are women, now that the job market's opened up, are no longer teachers. They're engineers. They're CEOs, which at one time that wasn't possible. And not attacking teachers, understand. But I had brilliant teachers. So you're in a school that you're advancing. Your kids are advancing majorly spiritually. I mean, majorly in education. And you decide one day, you know what? I just think they're getting too smart for their own good. They've advanced so far. I just think if they keep this going up, they're liable to become a doctor or a lawyer, an engineer. And I just really want them to work, you know, in the food service industry. Again, not attacking McDonald's. You find them not attacking anybody. But you've decided, you know, I really don't want them making six figures, seven figures. I'd rather they just made minimum wage. So you take them out of the advanced school and you put them over here in the school, you know, for special needs. Have any of your parents done that with your kids? You intentionally took them out of the good school, put them in special needs because they were just advancing so quickly? Again, not attacking special needs. I got to make all this all clear. You're not going to do that. You're going to tell your kids, come on, go, 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 press in, do better. Hey, what college you want to go to? We'll get the money. Get the scholarships. You want your kids to excel. Yet God's telling his people they're advancing spiritually. Okay, now let's take it out and go put you in special needs church. Let's take you out of the church where you're advancing, developing, being anointed. And also, we're going to take you where there's nothing happening. But you can make some good business contacts and you can find a husband. Whole lot more guys at that church, more girls at church. A lot of girls at church go to that church and find a wife. God's saying, go. Go for the gold. He's not going to call you into the dead church. Under normal circumstances. However, God does call people to dead churches. You want to know why? When they're in the live church, the revival church, and they won't flow the direction the congregation is going. They want to buck everything said and done. They have their own agenda. They're looking for a platform. They really have no heart for the vision. They have no heart for divine order. They're just after, you know, what can they get out of it? Or they're in there causing dissension or strife or sedition. And God is, okay, you don't want to get along with this group? I'll take you to the church you need to be at. Did you follow this? I have never kicked anybody out of this church. I've never kicked anybody out of this church. But I prayed a bunch of them out. Patty will tell you, Rebecca will tell you. There's some I've said, God, either you get them out or I'm getting them out. Because I'm not here to butt heads with anybody. I'm not here to have people undermining what I'm doing. You know, I'm preaching one sermon, afterwards they're on a couch preaching another sermon. How's that going on? With a worship leader. I'm preaching the baptism of the Holy Spirit that God wants everybody to have, and he's on the couch with his own group over saying, no, God doesn't have that for everybody. Get out of here. I didn't have to kick him out. I said, God, get him out. And every time, within 1 to 2 weeks that I've released them, they have found another church. God took me over here, or they found another opportunity. God brought me over here. Thank you, Jesus. They don't want the church of anointing, don't want to flow with the church of anointing. Let them be in the church of you know, the church of going nowhere. Building buildings with nothing to fill it. No power. I'm after covenant people with a heart after God that'll go through the assaults and go into the anointing of God. Go into the glory. Amen? So understand, God will take people out. But it's never good. You'll either have the devil take you out or God take you out because you cannot flow. Now there's other areas. God may take you out to put you in a better church. He did me. I was in a Pentecostal church. We were learning. We were moving. I mean, we were. Well, Patty was pretty miserable. She didn't like having to wear those dresses that swept the floor. I couldn't get her to put a bun in. She had a bum that's about that big around, you know. She never even tried that. She wasn't going there. We're hearing the same message every week. Jesus wants you saved. Get the sin out of your life, you know. I went to the altar almost every week. Oh, Jesus, save me again. But at least we were seeing power. You know, oh God, I fell asleep in prayer. Oh, don't kick me out of heaven, you know. And so, God puts it in our heart to shift to another church. And we went there like a week to 2 weeks before Pastor Callan came in to become the pastor. What was happening? God promoting us. You can shift churches, but it should never be down. It should be up. So listen, if somebody comes to town and you feel like they have more anointing than I've got and the power of God's moving there and the glory, whatever, and you think God's calling you over there, see ya. Go with my blessing. I may go. You follow me? I'm not going to fight the things of God. Hopefully. But I don't believe it's going to happen if we stay on track. God's not into confusion. He is not into confusion. Okay, let's bring in a church of power and the glory. Let's put it here and then we'll move another church of power and glory right next to it. Is God confused? I mean, do you put two captains in the same, in the same platoon? Again, not trying to exalt myself, I'm trying to talk about spiritual positioning. So I don't believe God's going to have one church doing everything He's assigned them to do and bring another one in to pull all the people out of that one to go to that one. Why would He gut what He's doing? You're trying to exalt your church above everybody. No, I'm not. I'm telling you what God's assigned me to do. And I'm telling you, if you feel there's a church that God's called you to and it's a promotion, go. But don't go because you think you're going to escape the pressure. Because if it's a church with more anointing, there'll be more pressure. Well, I think if there's anointing, there's no pressure. There's pressure to get through to that anointing. There's pressure to carry, to try to stop you from carrying that anointing. Amen? And there's spiritual discipline required to carry any anointing. Now let me as we start closing, number one, let me reiterate. I don't believe if you leave this church, you're going to hell. I've never said that. I've never insinuated it. Did you follow me? I don't believe if you leave my church and go to a dead church, you're going to hell. Where people miss it is they learn that they start making wrong decisions and lose their ability to hear God. And it doesn't stop with just going to the wrong church. All of a sudden, you start developing the wrong mindsets, the wrong actions. You start stepping into liberty God never intended for you to be in. And you're out there in la-la land. Do you follow me? Now, me personally, I have a problem with somebody who claims they're in ministry and they're smoking dope. I have a problem that somebody says they're in ministry, a man of God, leading ministry, is getting stoned all the time. Do you follow? I have a problem. Personally, listen, can you drink and go to heaven? Absolutely. Amen? I believe you can. I'd rather people drinking in the church than I would gossips. Problem is, you start drinking, you become a gossip. Problem is, people start getting off track and all of a sudden they can get drunk all they want to. I'm under grace. I can do drugs all I want to. Oh, the herb is from God. God said the herb was good. Listening to the wrong voices. And you start listening to the wrong voices. You start compromising the voice of the Spirit. All of a sudden, you can't discern the voice of the Spirit. And you end up out there thinking you're Jesus. Now, the women, I don't think you'd ever think you were Jesus. You'd think you were Mary or something like that, you know. Amen. Let's don't even go there. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Listen, I hope this doesn't sound too judgmental or condemning. I'm trying to let you know it's perilous times And again, let's look. Let's look at verse 5. 2 Timothy 3:5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power, the dunamis, power thereof, from such, hang around so you can turn them to Christ. Regarding such, have a party, invite them to bring the weed. From such, turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Here's the funny thing. Here's the funny thing. Those that fall into this deception aren't happy just being deceived themselves. They want to become a teacher of everybody else they now think is in captivity. So they want to go back to the revivalists, call them on the phone, meet them for lunch or whatever, and say, you know what? You know you are in bondage, and we have so much fun over here in this liberty where nothing's happening. Craziness. Ever learning. All this revelation they're getting, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now let me read on. Verse 8. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. Now listen, Jannes and Jambres had been dead for some time when this was written. You follow me? I mean, Jannes and Jambres were over 1,000 years before this was written. But I want you to know, Paul named them. He named them. They're not even named in the book of Deuteronomy or Exodus. They're not named in Exodus. But apparently through tradition, the names were known. And Paul named them. He was just being judgmental. No, he was being to the point. Do you follow me? It says, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest on all men, as theirs was also was. God says in these perilous times that the fruit in the end is going to tell who was hearing God. And I want to be a fruit bearer. But it's the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruit of the flakes. It's the fruit of having a relationship with God, hearing the Spirit, being led of the Spirit, and being in the Word. Amen. That's going to demonstrate the goodness of God. Father, I thank you for your Word. Help us stay on track, not in fear, but in hope of the vision you laid before us. Let each one go through every attack, joy, and with hope, knowing on the other side is a spiritual promotion. Bobby Jean, when she was here, made a reference to that every time you come through an attack, you step into more power. You go through no attacks, probably not going to step into more power. Amen? Help each of us go through the attacks with the hope of the power that's on the other side. Cause us to rise up and manifest your very glory that we can bring in your harvest. Thank you, Jesus. You understand the dead church can't manifest the glory. And the glory brings in the harvest. Arise and shine, for thy light is coming, the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the people, but his glory shall be seen upon thee. Amen. And thy children shall come from afar. Thy sons and daughters of thy side, at the brightness of thy rising. The glory on us is going to bring the harvest. That's probably one of the greatest aspects of our assignment. And we back off when we decide that it's too hard and we got to go back into dead religion, we'll never fulfill that calling. And I don't care what has to happen in my life. Well, I care. But I'm determined no matter what happens in my life, I'm not stopping from going where God's taking me. And no devil's going to push me in a corner. Amen. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Well, let's stand to our feet. Let's worship God for a minute, see how He wants to finish out this service.